But I love this time of Christmas, as you can probably gather. I get a little bit excited before Christmas and, of course, Christmas Day. And it's all that stuff, that busyness, isn't it? It's going out and buying presents and thinking what your loved one's going to appreciate and stuff, and hoping you've got the money to pay for it. And it's just the act of giving to people, isn't it? Because you just see the joy it brings. Right. Well, anyway, I read some fictional Christmas correspondence between Martha and Jennifer. And it reminded me that sometimes Christmas isn't always perfect. Dear Jennifer, this perfectly delightful note is being sent on paper I made myself to tell you what I've been up to. Since it snowed last night, I got up early and made a sledge with old wood in the barn and a glue gun. I hand-painted it in gold leaf, got out my loom and made a blanket in red and green wool from my own sheep. Now it's time to start making the place mats and napkins for my 20 breakfast guests. I'm serving the old standard Stuart 12-course breakfast, but I didn't have time to make the tables and chairs this morning, so I'm going to have to use my old ones. I did take time to make the dishes to use for the breakfast from Hungarian clay, which you can get at almost any Hungarian craft store. Well, must run. I need to finish the buttonholes on the dress I'll be wearing for breakfast. I'll get out the sledge and drive this note to the post office as soon as the glue dries on the envelope I've been making. Love, Martha. To which Jennifer responded, Dear Martha, I'm writing this on the back of an old shopping list. Pay no attention to the coffee and food stains. I'm 20 minutes late getting my daughter up for school, packing a lunch with one hand, on the phone with the dog warden, seems old Rufus needs baning out again. Burnt my arm on the curling iron when I was trying to make those cute curly fries. Still can't find the scissors to cut out some snowflakes. Tried an old disposable razor, made a mess of the tablecloth. Tried that cranberry thing. Frozen cranberries mushed up after I defrosted them in the microwave. Didn't work. Oh, and don't use fruity Skittles as a substitute in that Rice Krispie snowball recipe, unless you happen to like disgusting shades of green. Oh, the smoke alarm is going off. Talk to you later. Love, Jennifer. Now, which Christmas is more like your Christmas? I don't know about anybody who enjoys the Martha picture-perfect Christmas. Most Christmases seem to involve lots of things, places to be, people to visit, and sometimes things go wrong, and we're going to see a lovely picture. Is that your Christmas tree? Ah, isn't that lovely? Lovely log fireplace, all the trimmings, isn't that beautiful? But sometimes folks can get ill, the oven can break down, the toys don't work, or you forgot to buy the batteries, and things don't quite go the way that you'd planned. And the thing is, trouble doesn't take a holiday, not even at Christmas. But that shouldn't surprise us, because even the first Christmas wasn't picture perfect. In the midst of all the miracles and joy, there were a lot of hassles and a lot of hurt. Look with me, if you've got your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. Now, normally you get this reading after Christmas, but this morning we're going to do it slightly different. Matthew 2, 13 to 23. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. This is after the birth of Jesus, by the way. When they all gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets: he will be called a Nazarene. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. So, what is Christmas time to you? For most, it is preceded by Christmas shopping. When you can't find a parking space, the queues in the shop are a mile long. And there are kids having tantrums because mummy won't buy that perfect toy that they want. And there are bills to pay, there are houses to decorate. You've got cards to write and post, and the presents to wrap, the cake and pudding to make. I've done mine. And anybody who goes about with a cheerful Merry Christmas on their lips shall be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. That's a quote from Charles Dickens, who put those words in the mouth of Ebenezer Scrooge. But I've seen people who also complain about the hassles of Christmas, because Christmas can be full of hassles. Christmas costs too much. Too much time in shopping and decorating. Too much stress trying to get everything done. But don't feel bad. It was a hassle for Joseph and Mary too. The first hassle was Mary's surprise pregnancy. Joseph and Mary were betrothed but not officially married. So imagine Joseph's surprise when Mary broke the news. He was ready to call the whole thing off until an angel came to him and explained the situation. Now, I'm sure that Joseph would have liked the angel to explain the whole situation to his family and friends as well. But that didn't happen. Instead, he had to face the interrogation himself. What? Mary, pregnant? Couldn't you have waited until you were married? Imagine the hassle that Mary endured as an unwed mother. The hassle of the whispering in the street's corners and the gossiping. Why would Joseph do such a thing? Or who would have thought such a thing of nice girl Mary? And also, of course, she had a wedding to arrange. And you know how stressful those can be. But the hassles are just beginning. Because not long after the wedding, the emperor commanded every male Israelite to return to their birthplace to register for a census and pay a new tax. Another bill that Joseph hadn't planned for, and a trip that he also didn't think he was going to be making. And his wife was just ready to give birth. He could really do without these hassles. Do these hassles of Christmas bills and Christmas trips sound familiar? Joseph manages to scrounge up enough money for him and Mary to head off to Bethlehem. But the hassles continue, because as they get to the place, they find it is full because of the census. No room in the inn. No such thing as a hospital or a labour ward. With a wife about to give birth, Joseph had to settle for the only accommodation going, a stable. In that drafty stable, surrounded by smelly animals, without a doctor, without a midwife, without an epidural, Mary gives birth, and everything is great. But not for long. Unannounced guests start arriving, wanting to see the newborn baby, and before long, the stable seems to be the centre of the universe. Roll on months later, just when it starts to settle down, an entourage arrives with posh people bearing gifts. That's nice, thinks Joseph. Now I can pay the stable bill. But then verse 13 tells us an angel brings a message to Joseph. Take Mary and the baby to Egypt. King Herod is going to try to murder Jesus. Now, how would you respond? Lord, enough is enough. Why don't you just zap Herod with an aneurysm or a heart attack or something? Haven't we been through enough already? But obedient Joseph packs up his family and starts out to Egypt, where he gets a job and they set up home for a while. Over and over, Joseph and Mary endure hassles after hassle, all for the sake of the baby Jesus. But notice something else. For every hassle they face, God provides them with help. He sends an angel to explain what he's doing, which is rather good. He provides funds for them to get to Bethlehem and makes a reservation for them in a stable. May not be the Marriott, but it sufficed. He sends the wise men bearing gifts to help finance the rescue of Jesus from Herod. Over and over, the story reminds us that God always provides help to deal with our hassles. And he does the same thing for you and me today. No matter what your hassle, God offers you his help. He's not Father Christmas. He will not give you what you but he will give you what you need when you ask. He won't always save you from every pothole in the road, but he will give you the grace to keep going. He won't bump off everybody who threatens you, but he will protect you and guide you. When Christmas is full of hassles, God helps, and he is full of help. In Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That verb there is talking about very present. It's abundantly available. That should be white. You should better see that. Can you see that? Never mind. Are you struggling with some Christmas hassles today? If so, why don't you ask God to help you? But Christmas can not only be full of hassles, it can also be full of hurt. In verses 16 to 18. Pain doesn't take a holiday just because it's Christmas. Each year the news reports of some tragedy, from motorway pile-ups to earthquakes and tsunamis. And we feel for those families, especially at Christmas time. Also for the soldiers serving in war zones. For the doctors and nurses working to fight Ebola at the moment. And for those caring for those who can't fend for themselves. Christmas can be a very painful time for many. Sometimes it is grief of missing a loved one, perhaps for the first time. Sometimes it's living in a sick or handicapped body. The single person or divorcee dreads spending another lonely Christmas, wondering why. Christmas can not only be full of hassles, but also full of hurt. Lord, why do you allow such pain and heartache at Christmas? But the truth is, Christmas has been full of hurt ever since Jesus was born. The particular pain in this story comes after Mary and Joseph leave Bethlehem for Egypt. Herod tried to trick the wise men into showing him where the king of the Jews would be born, so he could eliminate that threat to his throne. But when he realizes that the wise men have fooled him, it sends him into one of his characteristic rages. And he gives orders for his troops to ride out to the little town of Bethlehem on a special mission. The soldiers see fear on the faces of the people as they ride in. Nobody knows for sure why they are here. They go from house to house looking for boys that look 2 years or younger and put them to the sword. Mothers, can you feel the horror of the moment you realise what they've come to do? I imagine the soldiers had to kill some mums and dads just to get to the children. How many of them call out to God, "Save us!" But in the end, it doesn't make any difference. These innocent children are slaughtered like lambs. And horrified parents are left clinging to their corpses, screaming in grief as the soldiers ride away. Nobody even tells them why their little boy was murdered. But we know why. Because Jesus had to get away. Lord, why didn't you send an angel to those families to warn them? Lord, why didn't you strike down Herod before he could make such a command? Why did you allow such death, pain, and suffering at the birth of your son? I don't know if you've ever wondered about these questions, But I imagine these devastated families did. I know many of us since wonder why God allows such pain and suffering, such devastation and death, especially at Christmas time. Lord, why did you take my husband, wife, child, mom, dad away? Father, why do I have to suffer through another Christmas all alone? Oh God, why do you leave me here hurting and helpless in this sick body? Lord, why do I have to hurt so much at Christmas? I don't have the answers. And even if I did, I am not sure that would help the hurts. All I really know is God makes a promise to all of us who are in pain. He promises his presence. Psalm 34, verses 18 and 19. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Where are you, Lord, when I'm hurting? I'm right here, my precious child. Lord, why do you allow me to hurt so much? You couldn't understand, my child, even if I told you. But trust me when I say you never suffer alone. When I don't stop the pain, I will always hold you. I will always comfort you. I will always be there to help you keep going until the day I take that pain away. God almost never answers why questions. More likely than not, he will not take away the pain or grief. So what can you do? Run to God and cling to him like a hurt child clings to his father. If Christmas is bringing you hurt, why not run to your father today? Cling to him and let him comfort you. Christmas does not promise no hassles or no hurting. So what does Christmas offer to hassled, hurting people? Verses 19 to 23 shows us that Christmas brings you hope. Someone has said we can live 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without air, and only a few seconds without hope. Well, the longer I live, the more I realise how untrue that statement is. There are plenty of people who live a lot longer, days, months, years, without hope. People can live decades bearing the heavy burden of shame and guilt of wrong choices, with no hope of forgiveness, no hope of peace. People can spend all their lives looking for meaning, for purpose, for direction. People can live and die with absolutely no hope that they will live again after they take their last breath on earth. Do people live without hope? Yes, millions do. But they don't have to. The boy who was born in Bethlehem, snatched from the jaws of Herod, offers you hope beyond your wildest dreams. Because he lives, you and I can have hope today. Verse 19 tells us the baby outlived the wicked King Herod, who tried to kill him. Now history tells us that Herod's kingdom was divided among his heirs. An angel announced to Joseph it was safe to go back to Israel. So once again, the little family packed up their things and hit the road. But Joseph is a little uneasy returning to Bethlehem under the reign of Herod's son, Archelaus. And his fears are confirmed by the Jewish historian Josephus. Archelaus was as bloodthirsty as his father. He began his reign by slaughtering 3,000 leading men of Israel. So after praying, Joseph and his family go to Nazareth, where Jesus spends his rest of his growing years waiting for the day for him to fulfill his mission. This mission is why Herod couldn't kill him. The reason why Jesus didn't die as a baby. The Bible explains it in John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world. Jesus didn't die in Bethlehem as a baby because his hour had not come. It would not come until many years later, when Jesus would willingly, purposefully lay down his life on the cross to offer us hope. That baby in the manger grew up to be the man on the cross. And that cross is what brings us hope. It brings hope to the hassled, hurting people who need the hope of knowing that God cares for them. The hope that God can help them start over again, can erase their past and give them hope of an eternal life. That's why you and I celebrate the joy of Christmas. We celebrate the hope God gives us through his Son. Hope for today, for tomorrow, and for eternity. Now, God doesn't offer us a hassle-free or hurt-free life as a Christian, but he does offer us a hope-filled life through our faith in Jesus Christ. And that is more than enough to keep us going. Here's a poem by Christina Rossetti. That night when shepherds heard the song of the angelic host caroling near, a deaf man turns in slumber's spell and dreamed that he could hear. That night when in the castle stall slept mother and child in humble fold, a cripple turned his twisted limbs and dreamed that he was whole. That night when o'er the newborn babe a tender mother rose to lean, a loathsome leper smiled in sleep and dreamed that he was clean. That night when to the mother's breast the little king howled secure, a harlot slept a happy sleep and dreamed that she was pure. That night when in the manger lay the Holy One who came to save, a man turned in the sleep of death and dreamed there was no grave. What shall be our gift to him? What shall I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. What shall I give him? I know. I'll give him my heart. What hope lies sleeping in your heart this morning? Jesus Christ, the baby born in Bethlehem, the boy who lived, the man who died, offers you hope in spite of all your hassles, in the midst of your hardest hurts. In him, Christmas offers us all hope. The singer-songwriter Michael Card writes, "All we could ever imagine, could ever hope for, he is. He is the Prince of Peace whose first coming has already transformed society, but whose second coming will forever establish justice and righteousness. All this and infinitely more, alive in an impoverished barn, baby in a barn." That is what Christmas means. To find in a place where you would least expect to find anything you want, everything you could ever want. This morning, Jesus invites you to come to him and hope again. Hope in spite of all the hassles. Hope beyond all the hurts. Hope you can find right now by coming to his feet, believing his word, and accepting his love. There is joy to be found this Christmas in a smelly barn, in a manger, is where the gift is laid. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to this earth. Lord, the story reminds us so often that all the good things about Christmas, and we skip over those things that aren't quite so nice. But Lord, hidden in your word, you show that you are there all the time, through the hassles and through the hurts. Lord, we give you thanks and praise you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit once more, Lord. Fill us afresh to overflowing, that we may go from this place showing your joy. And when joy is shared with others around us, Lord, they'd want to know, why are we so happy? And it's because we serve a risen Saviour. Lord, we pray that you will just empower us. Send us out and light this dark world that others may have hope in you. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.